Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Life Transformation Radio. We are live. Here on Life Transformation Radio, I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. I want to welcome all of our listeners from wherever you are listening from. This show is heard in 28 countries, such as US, Brazil, Canada, France, Australia, and New Zealand. So thank you to those from around the world who are listening to this show. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the story of why we are doing what we're doing and how we are helping to transform others. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On this show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting every single person around them. If you have a question for any of the guests, you are more than welcome to call in. This is a live show, so the call-in number is 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And my guest today is no different. Amazing, impactful, resilient. He's a master strategist. Help me welcome to the show, Brian King. What is up, brother?
Hey, man, things are going great. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, I am super pumped to have you on the show, man. Anytime I can have somebody that dives head first, like a mile deep and 2 inches wide into the resilience world, dude, it's a great day.
It's what I live and breathe, man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, man. So are you ready to get started?
Yeah, bring it on.
Let's do this. This episode is titled Resilient Strategies with Brian R. King. Brian R. King is the resilience warrior and trains people from all walks of life on strategies he's learned over the past 28 years, strategies for becoming unstoppable in the face of adversity. Brian lives with ADHD, dyslexia, Ehlers-Danlos, and multiple sclerosis. He also is raising 3 sons with Asperger's and ADHD. He has 2 podcasts, The Compassionate Dad Show and The Resilience Warriors Podcast. Brian's strategies have been forged in the trenches. What he will teach you today will be transformational. You can look him up at www.facebook.com/Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Brian R. King MSW, and then his Twitter is https://twitter.com/Brian R. King, and you can look him up on his website, www.BrianRaymond.com. Look him up. He's not hard to find, and you will be impressed with what he knows and what he can teach you. So, Brian, tell us about the Ehlers-Danlos. I'm not sure a lot of people know what that is.
Well, Ehlers-Danlos is a connective tissue disorder. It's inherited. There's no cure for it. And there's about 15 different varieties. The variety I have affects my ligaments and tendons, makes them really, really slack and weak. So my joints stretch out, don't always stretch back. So a lot of my joints like to partially dislocate, including some of the bones in my feet. And that really hurts more than I can tell you. So it's difficult to walk, run, because my ankles or my knees will give out. So I'm pretty much a walking man or a wheeling man.
Wow. That's insane. So yeah, they get stretched out, but they don't exactly, like the elasticity isn't there? Is that what it is?
Well, they're too weak. You know, so they stretch out, but they don't stretch back. And my youngest boy has inherited it from me.
Oh, no. How do they find that? What I mean, is there like a diagnosis that comes, or is it like a test, or like how do you know if you have it or not?
Well, in my case, I didn't know I had it my entire life until a friend of mine was diagnosed with it. And then I was I was researching her condition to try and understand her situation better. And then I started, you know, checking things off going, what the heck is this? What are the chances this is me? So I found out how she got diagnosed. I connected with a geneticist who fortunately is one of the experts in the country. And he took me through all the diagnostic criteria, spent almost 3 hours in his office. And by the end of it, he said, yeah, this is what you got.
Wow. Wow. I've never heard of that. So the first question that we really ask on the show is why? I think when you wake up in the morning, you have to ask yourself, why do I do what I do? Why go out and inspire people or motivate people, or why have a podcast, or why wake up and go to work, or why go to college? You know, why do we do what we do? So, Brian, the first question we're going to ask you today is why? What is your why?
My why is my voice.
Okay. Now,
I've seen them be challenged in the classroom, socially, with family members, and I am not doing my job as a father if I send them out into the world helpless. So I have to give them as many skills as I possibly can to equip them to live interdependent lives and also contribute to society. But, you know, living in the world that we do, where we're not always as enlightened as we'd like people to be, I need to prepare the world for them too. So hopefully someplace they can meet in the middle. So I've become an advocate. You know, I've had to educate teachers, my neighbors, my family members. And with the advent of Facebook, I have found an entirely new way to reach people. And people have really been attracted to my message, the way I present my ideas. And I've been approached to do keynotes and do trainings at schools. And you know, so many doors just opened as a result of that. And all I've been doing is trying to prepare the world for my voice.
Wow. And it can't be easy, you know, with what you deal with on a daily basis, and then coupled with what they deal with on a daily basis, it cannot be easy, I'm sure.
Well, easy is irrelevant, you know, because what it comes down to is that it's necessary.
Sure.
So I have got to find the means to do it, whether it's, and that's been incentive for me to take better care of myself, to network, so that, you know, because I can't spend all day and all night reading books, so I have to surround myself with people that are smarter in specific areas than I am. I've got to be able to delegate to other people who are better in those areas, so that I kind of have this community around me now that allows me to get what I need when I need it, so that, you know, I'm always prepared for whatever comes up. And I also have to be able to take care of myself in the midst of it.
Yeah. Okay. I like it, man. I like it. So tell me who you were before you got to this point today. Like, let's go back. I mean, when were you, let's do a couple rapid fire ones. So when were you diagnosed with, let's say, ADHD as a kid?
ADHD I've had it my entire life, but I wasn't
what about dyslexia?
With it. The dyslexia, same. I wasn't diagnosed with them until about 8 years ago. And the ADHD I hadn't even considered until I was talking to one of my colleagues one day. And she said, I was bouncing all over the place. And she said, do you have ADHD? And I said, no, why? What makes you think so? And she says, I think you ought to look into that. And this was somebody I trusted. So I found a professional, did an assessment on me. And not only do I have it, I have it bad. So I really needed to dive into some strategies ASAP to try and figure out how to make this less of a detriment to me. And being the resourceful person I've become over these years, I was able to find them, implement them, and get some really dynamite results without medication.
Wow. Okay, what about dyslexia? You said about the same time, about 8 years ago. I figure going through school, right? I mean, you went through school. I mean, most people find out, like, wow, I'm bad at reading, or I see things kind of weird, or I mean, it's usually identified somewhere between middle school and high school, I would think, right?
Yeah, but I was called a lazy student. I was called dreamy. I was called unmotivated.
I've heard that. Yep.
And
yep.
I have an incredible ability to take things in auditorily. And fortunately, in classrooms, and especially at the college level, because I chose social work as a career path, the vast majority of what we learn is classroom conversation, breaking into groups, lengthy lectures. So what I couldn't get through my eyes through the books, we ended up talking about anyway. So I was able to get everything that I needed just by listening.
Wow. Okay, fair enough. I like it. What about the Ehlers-Danlos? Is that kind of a side effect of multiple sclerosis?
Nope, they are not even in the same company. I just happen to be a train wreck.
Wow.
You know, all my parts were built in China. In fact, I'm going to get that tattoo one of these days. But
right.
You know, I've been a klutz my entire life, always tripping over my own feet, twisting my ankles. You know, I did good at breakdancing because I could twist my body in all kinds of weird ways. But I just considered myself, hey, I'm not a sporto. You know, I wasn't built for that kind of stuff. And I just thought this was just me. And those party tricks were very endearing to people who liked
sure.
The fact that I could do gross things. And I didn't think much of it. Like I said, until it came onto my radar because my friend was diagnosed with it, I probably would have gone my whole life not knowing.
Wow. All right. So who was Brian, let's say, 10 years ago? Were you resilient back
ago,
then?
10 years ago, you know, because my oldest boy is 19.
Okay, perfect.
I was more resilient, but I was definitely still anxious, self-conscious, pretty defensive, very opinionated. But life has this way of humbling you. And my first wife left us. I became a single dad. My three boys, and man, that kicked me down like I can't tell you.
Oh my gosh.
And that was really one of those events that made me realize just how important it was for me to be a specific kind of dad to my boys. I had to be the model of resilience that said, we can do this. This hit us, this hurt. But we still have a life to live. We got to find a way to move forward. We got to do it together. So just coming back from the defeat, the humiliation, everything that came along from that event, like I said, not only humbled me, but helped me learn just really the value of having that tight community around me, leaning on them, not being so egocentric and thinking, I've got to do it all myself. I've got to be the hero. That went out the window at the blink of an eye. Now it's all about the community. It's how can we support each other. It's the quality of the people we have around us. And day in and day out, when people hear my podcast or they read my articles, without exception, I'm talking about we. We are in this. We can only succeed together. Don't try and go it alone. It's only going to lead to isolation.
Wow. I can't even imagine, you know, when my wife left me, it was just me. I mean, it was just me by myself. But I mean, when it's you and three boys, I mean, it's, man, that is tough.
And,
that is,
and with
so
the challenges
tough.
They had at the time, because they were
much
younger. You know, my oldest one was still having meltdowns and running from the classroom and threatening teachers. And my middle son was still barely verbal. He had classic autism and he needed service was coming out of his ears. I mean, these kids were really, really needy still. And I had to try and, you know, get them in school and navigate all this stuff, all while I was depressed. So it wasn't easy. I really had to rally the troops to help keep me up and keep me from collapsing while I was trying to keep my kids moving forward in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeez, man. Wow. Well, good for you, man. I'm happy for you. You bounced back. So let's talk about that. What was that transformational moment? How did you get to this point and develop those resilient strategies? What are those strategies?
Well, man, where do I start? I'm looking for new ones all the time. I mean, the basic belief in my life is that everything that gets thrown at me, no matter how hard it is an opportunity to be resourceful. Because there are some people that look at these events and say, oh, the universe is trying to stop me, or, you know, God hates me, or maybe I don't deserve it. I say, I still got things I want to do. And this obstacle, whether it's MS or ADHD, just tells me I've got to learn new tools. I've got to have the right mindset. I have got to find the right people in my life to help me move forward, because darn it, I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yep.
And that is what keeps me engaged. Plus, I don't want my boys to see a quitter. I don't want them to see, oh, Dad's finally beat. I give up. I'll be damned if that's what I model for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they've got their own challenges. So I want them to see, no, man, you haven't found the solution yet. You need to look for the next one. It's just like what Edison did. 10,000 experiments to get to the light bulb. How many do you want, brother?
Said.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, I love what he said. He's like, I just found like 9,000 or 10,000 ways to not make a light bulb. Like, that's so amazing that you can think that way. Like, wow, I failed like this many times. Well, no, I just found a bunch of ways to not do it. You know, like, to turn that around, I love that. Was there one strategy specific that helped you? Like, was there one thing that you did just kind of all the time that propelled you forward every day?
One thing that propels me forward every day. Besides the fact that I know my boys are watching?
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much the one. You know, when I think of, man, I'm too tired to get out of bed. You know, there are some days where simply I can't get out of bed. And then I have to do some self-care, and sometimes my youngest will get really nervous. And I explain to him that some days the body just needs to repair itself. And it's really important that we give it that time. Because otherwise we're going to hurt ourselves. And this is something that's true for every human being, not just Dad. It just turns out Dad maybe has a couple more bad days than others, but this is something all human beings need to do in order to be at 100%. Because rest is not laziness, it's preparation. Because you've got to be at 100% in order for your next action, and you've got to be able to rest in order to do that. So these people that are grinding and doing 20-hour days, what are you thinking, man?
Right.
When is your body going to repair itself? And there's just folks like me that are reminded of that more often than other people. But what ultimately keeps me going every single day is I've got a legacy to leave my boys. And I want them to look back and say, Dad taught me how to never give up, no matter how hard things get.
Yeah, so basically you're living out your values. Like, you value the impact that you're going to have with your kids, and you value the role model that you're becoming. So it sounds like, you know, because it's one of the strategies that I talk about is living out your values, because values are where you want to be in life, and goals are just your accomplishments along the way. And a lot of times people fail in their goals or fail at whatever they want to accomplish because there's no value behind it. You know, what you're saying is, like, I value my family. I value my boys more so that I'm valuing the relationship that we have, and I'm putting a lot of value in the fact that I have the ability to impact them in such a way that I will model what they should be like, or model, you know, good behavior, or, you know, positive attitudes, or, I mean, the list goes on and on, but it sounds like values are the number one in your life.
Well, not only that, but I also get to teach them the results I get from having those values. Because there are a lot of parents that say, well, you should do this because it's the right thing. You should do it because it's polite. That's rote. That's pretty mindless. But if you say, I made this decision, I practiced this value, and look at the results I got. That's how I teach kindness to my boys. You can be a jerk when you're upset or frustrated. So what kind of results you get with that? People want to be around you? People want to be your friend? No. If you're kind, what happens? They're happy with you. They want to see you. They want to have you around more. They feel good about themselves. You feel good about yourself. Which value would you rather practice?
Yep, absolutely. So I have a two-part question, and some of these are going to be two-part questions back-to-back. So first part, what has been the best part about your transformation so far?
the best part of my transformation has got to be the fact that fear is rarely a thought anymore. Because it used to be that whenever I was challenged with something or I had to up my game, the first thing that would happen is, oh, that sounds scary. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. You know, what if I fail? Conversation doesn't take place anymore.
Yeah.
Whenever I had a challenge, now it's bring it on. What do I need to do? What's my first step? What do I need to be prepared for so that I just get my mind engaged and say, okay, let's do this.
I like it. So what has been the worst part about your transformation?
The worst part about my transformation, I think, is the fact that the hits seem to keep coming. You know, is the fact that I have these challenges, and even though I learn all these new tools, I learn the mindset, there always seems to be this requirement that I've got to grow again and again and again, because my MS is progressive. You know, there's no cure for this. The doctors may be able to slow it down, but it's going to keep getting worse. So I'm going to have to continue to adjust to this over time of less and less ability. What does that do to my ego? What does that do to my sense of masculinity? My belief that I need to be this self-determined being, but now I'm being more dependent. So the path is not even close to being completed.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, do you feel like your transformation is complete?
Not even close, man. I'm going to be a student till my last breath.
Yeah, I think that there's always like two answers you can give to that. No freaking way. Like, never going to happen. And somebody, I think, what did they say? They said something like, I'm constantly chasing that moment when my transformation will be complete. Like, I'm constantly chasing that moment. So I'm going to say no, but I'm close. I'm getting close to that one moment.
Well, that
I am where I, you know, but they're constantly
that
chasing that moment.
To that person, I would say, let go of that.
Yeah.
Don't chase any destination when it comes to growth. What you need to do is cherish the teachability of the moment you have, because there's always something there for you to learn.
Oh, definitely. If you're not growing, you're dying.
No kidding. And I don't want to die anytime
soon,
brother.
Yeah. So has religion played a role in this at all?
To a degree. I've been following the Zen Buddhist path for 20 years.
Yep.
And it's really helped me in terms of being really mindful and not invested egotistically in the experience I'm having. Because one thing that can really defeat us is the shoulds. It shouldn't be like that.
Preach, brother.
Know. Yeah,
preach
exactly.
It.
And when you are able to look at the moment as itself and look at it from a sense of curiosity, as opposed to judging it and trying to manipulate it and control it, that curiosity allows you to just kind of be with it, be in the flow of it, enjoy it for what it is, as opposed to trying to shit all over it.
Man,
and
I tell everybody when I'm teaching resilience skills. Oh, yeah, absolutely liberating. What I tell people in my resilience training, I said, when you shit all over everybody, and they're like, wait, when you what? Because I say it super fast.
Yeah,
so,
are you right?
But that's what you do. But that, I mean, literally, like when you should all over people, well, you should act this way. The players in the NFL should stand at attention, you know, for the national anthem. That's what's going on right now. Women should whatever women got to do. You know, kids should be seen and not heard. Right. We always hear that. Kids should be. When you have your shoulds, those are literally opinions. That's all they are. Thoughts, feelings, and beliefs will always drive reactions. And people put their shoulds in front of their morals and values, and they always put their beliefs on people. And when you shoot all over people, you ruin the relationship 100% of the time.
Well, and beyond opinions, they're judgments.
Oh, absolutely.
You have declared a degree of arrogant superiority over somebody, someplace, or something. And it's none of your business to tell it who to be. It's your business to be with it. That's it.
Absolutely.
And if you want to transform anything, if you want to transform anything, you model that what you're doing gets better results. That's how you do it. Don't play the convincing game and try and argue somebody to think in the way you think. Show them.
Absolutely. You know, you said another buzzword in the resilience world earlier, and it was mindfulness. What does mindfulness mean to you?
Mindfulness is the ability to be completely present with something without judgment. Like I said, it's that clear observation that just lives in wonder of what's happening around you. It takes it in like a child that sees something for the first time and is just like, wow. As opposed to, well, I wouldn't have done a butterfly that way. What the heck was God thinking with that whole wing thing?
Right.
And the big curly tongue. And kids don't do that. They just look at it and say, wow. And what's amazing is when you learn that there is no such thing as same stuff, different day.
Oh, my gosh. I hear that all the time.
If it's a different day, it's a new day. When I see my kids come through the door at the school every day, it's the first time today that they've walked through the door after school. It's a new experience. I can very easily tell myself and believe all of those images my brain has created about similar experiences that happened in some place called the past, or I could just say, man, I'm so glad that today I got to experience this.
Yep.
And see my son smile as though it was the first time I'd ever seen it.
Yep. I always think of mindfulness as being situationally aware, you know, situationally aware. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I sensing? What am I, you know, it's not just going through the motions, you know, mindfulness is about centering yourself so that you can be fully present, fully engaged and just be there.
In many ways, it's like surfing. Because you can't say, oh, you know, well, I surfed a wave yesterday. I can totally blow this off and just space out. You're going to crash and burn. You've got to be totally in tune with what the water is doing under your feet. You have got to be totally connected with the board. You have got to be so in the moment. I've never surfed, but from the people, you know, just help hearing them talk about it. It's very, very meditative and very zen. Because you have to be so focused on the moment. And when you think about just what you described, there are these waves of emotion that we go through, these experiences, responses to this stuff called life. And being able to be in tune with that wave, that energy, without trying to control it, manipulate it, slow it down, stop it, but just letting it happen and observing it. That's the mindfulness of your inner experience that keeps you so resilient, because you're not trying to stop it, start it. You're just, all right, this is temporary. Yep. It's going to come through me. It's going to move out. Let's just ride it, see where it goes. And it's that effort to try and resist the experience you're having that creates a lot of the suffering that we experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about resilience right now. And if any of the listeners are listening and you have a question for Brian or myself, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If you have a question about anything we've been talking about on the show, go ahead and give us a call. So, Brian, let's define resilience as we move forward. What is resilience?
Resilience is the ability to bounce forward in the presence of any kind of resistance and do so stronger and smarter than you began.
I love it. A lot of people say bounce back. You gotta bounce back.
No, I don't like bounce back because bounce back means go back to where you started. I don't want to go through any kind of crap and not get anywhere.
And, so and then go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I define resilience as your ability to withstand, recover, and grow through adversity,
like
stress, and life's changing demands.
Yeah, that's good.
Because really, you have to, you know, you're withstanding it. You know, you're creating these buffers for challenges with mindfulness and values and, you know, the strategies, right? And so you're withstanding, like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And then you have to recover because life's going to knock you down, right? So you're recovering by moving forward, by bouncing forward, and then you're growing from it, because if you're not learning from your mistakes, you're just going to keep doing them. And that really sucks.
Yeah, it's not any kind of life I want to live.
All right, exactly. So who has been your biggest influencer?
My biggest influencer? because I don't know too many people that have gone through the stuff that I've gone through. Oh, yeah. Oh, now that I had a second to think about it. Viktor Frankl.
Who's Viktor Frankl?
Viktor Frankl is a Holocaust survivor. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And anybody that espouses the fact that you can choose your attitude no matter how bad the circumstances, that came from Viktor Frankl. He was skin and bones. He could have died. His whole family was let off to the gas chambers. He saw people with sores and starving, just like he was, dropping like flies. But him and a couple of his buddies were able to withstand the same kind of harsh treatment. And what he determined was the defining factor for those guys is each one of them decided that there was purpose to what they were going through. Everybody else gave up.
Wow.
So even those circumstances were the worst imaginable. He had decided. And the meaning that he chose was, I need to survive this so I can tell my story so this will never happen again in human history.
Wow.
That's what kept him going. And his story demonstrates that I don't care how bad you think your life sucks. If you compare it to what Viktor went through and you think your life is still rough, read the book again. Because you're missing something. And if he can, he could have endured all of that and kept a sense of optimism, of hope, then what am I complaining about?
No, absolutely. Well, I'm definitely going to look that up and put that in the show notes for real.
I recommend it to everybody, Man's Search for Meaning. My favorite book had the greatest impact on me of any book I ever read.
Man's Search for Meaning.
Yep.
I'm definitely putting this down for my books to read. Definitely. And so, on the opposite side of that, who's been your biggest supporter?
My biggest supporter, probably my mother.
Mother, okay.
Even when she didn't know what the heck to do for me, she always believed in me.
Okay.
You know, whenever I was interested in something, she was the one that's saying, go after it. Give it a shot. See if you like it.
Awesome.
You know, when I was getting beat up and bullied as a kid, she was always the one to hug me and tell me she loved me and I didn't deserve that. When I was going, I had cancer when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
She never left my side. She was there holding the bucket when I was puking my guts out. She was in the hospital every day. I was getting chemo. We had a family business. She brought boxes of files with so she could do the work and make the phone calls for my hospital room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a heck of a supporter, right? That is
yep.
a heck of a supporter. Wow. So moving forward, because I always have to do a self-assessment. Yeah, as I move forward, you know, they always say that the windshield is bigger because that's what you're supposed to be focusing on. I totally agree. And, the rear view is smaller because it doesn't matter. But I always do a self-assessment. You know, like, so I have strategies that, you know, I accomplish my goals and I accomplish, you know, tasks and whatnot. And every Saturday is my weekly check-in. And I kind of do a self-assessment about how I'm feeling, how I think. I'm always being mindful of myself and how my emotions and am I fulfilled? And did I accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish that particular week? And so as I go back and look, I learn things. So if you had to go back, would you change anything or would you do anything different?
So my fear is that if I changed anything, I would have denied myself something essential that has forged my character. You know, even
wow.
if it was something small, because you know darn well, it's like a flashlight. At the point of the flashlight, it's kind of a small beam, but as it goes out, it spreads out, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So something that seems small like that kind of expands exponentially over time. So even if something sounds little, I'm afraid to say, well, you know, I would tweak this thing here because that was an inconvenience I'd rather not have. So I just look at all of it, and instead of scorekeeping or assessing, I just say thank you.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So what has been the best resource that you have found during your journey with no one's help? It was a book you read or a seminar, something that you said, maybe I should do this, and it changed your life. Now, you mentioned the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which Frankl is F-R-A-N-K-L.
Right.
And if anybody's listening. And so what do you think was the best resource that you found during your journey? And I'm fascinated by answers that I get to this question.
Meditation.
Meditation. All right.
Yep.
I love it. It's because people think of resource, they think of money, books, people, places. Like I've had people say, you know, like you're the first one who said meditation. Some people go, oh yeah, definitely mindfulness, you know, but then other people are like, oh, experience. Oh, experience is the best resource, you know. Learning, failure is the best resource, you know. And I'm so fascinated by what people think their best resource was. So why is meditation? And it's not the, now when I think of meditation, you know, I think of, you know, just closing your eyes and kind of, you know, I guess the act of meditating, not the you know, all that like woo-woo
right.
stuff that people just make fun of, you know, meditations. Everybody's is different. What is your meditation strategy?
Meditation, like I said earlier, it's in the Zen Buddhist tradition. Meditation yep. is a skill, a practice, a habit for refining the quality of your attention.
Okay.
Wow. And we know that attention is the beginning of creation. What you put your mind on grows. If you are putting your attention on a garden in the way it needs it, it will grow. It will blossom. If you are giving your attention to another human being in a way that they need it, they will open up to you. They will feel seen. If you look at yourself the way you need to be looked at, you will do it without deception. You will do it without judgment. And you increase your capacity to grow. So it is by far the most powerful strategy I have.
I love it. Man, yes. I love that. That's the greatest definition ever. That's pretty cool.
That's how
well
I roll,
done.
Man.
So the flip side of that, was there a certain person who gave you a resource that you've used?
Well, that was my first Zen teacher, a Zen master, who has since passed away.
Okay.
And he taught me the meditation.
Awesome. I love it. Love it. So let's talk about where you're headed now, man. We talked about the two podcasts. You got the Compassionate Dad Show, and you've got the Resilience Warriors. And that's kind of a new one, the Resilience Warriors. You've been working feverishly on that thing to launch.
Yeah. And I've got that, and I've got a membership community that I started. That's also the Resilience Warriors. And the vision I have for that is to bring people with various conditions, chronic conditions, learning disabilities, physical disabilities, and so on, and help them learn and grow together that there's more to who they are than their disabilities. That they need to challenge the assumptions they've made about themselves and the society has made about them so they can realize that there are far more opportunities than there ever are limitations if they learn how to free themselves of that fear, that judgment, and all that other kind of BS going on between their ears that tells them they can't. Because we live in a world of ever-increasing resources and opportunity to connect with other people. And we need to leverage that so that we can live more fully. And if we can do that together as a community, that gives us even more power and more motivation to do it. And that's what I'm looking to build now.
That's awesome, man. So can you specific? So I guess here's a couple more. Why did you start the Compassionate Dad?
Well, the Compassionate Dad that I started is because when I was thinking about what else could I give to the people that I have been helping all these years. And the political climate that we have right now is very divisive. It's very much based on othering people and judging people and putting people down and being selfish. And I realize more and more that, man, it would be great if our leaders had more compassion.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw people that were wishing that too. And I said, well, maybe I should try some kind of a vehicle to create that conversation. And I did that for a little while, but then I realized, you know what? Compassion is just one thing. It's one path. I need to go bigger. So that transitioned into the resilience warriors, because resilience includes compassion, but it includes many other things as well. So resilience right. became a much bigger umbrella where I could talk about more things and emphasize more strategies and ideas that people need to incorporate in addition to compassion. So you know, things evolve as you refine your vision and you get clear on what it is you want your contribution to look like. And the resilience warriors means that we are always kind of dealing with these internal struggles and battles that are making it difficult for us to be resilient or are challenging us to push harder, dig deeper, so that we can become stronger, be more resilient. And it's not just the stuff in us. It's stuff outside of ourselves. It's things from the past.
Yeah.
So those two words seem to really go nicely together. And which takes me to where I'm at today.
Yep. Boom. I love it. So let's talk about where you're headed. What's on the horizons? What kind of things are you working on?
Well, the thing I'm working on primarily is, as I mentioned, the Resilience Warriors membership site and community. Because with my health being what it is, I need to be able to balance self-care with my desire to be of service to as many people as possible and my obligations to my family. So the more I can create that one place where people can come together and help each other so that I'm not the only one doing the work. You know, when you do one-to-one, it's, okay, I talked to this person about this problem, and this other person has the same problem, but why don't these two together so they can relate to one another and bolster each other up? So the idea of community emerged from that, and also necessity is the mother of invention. As my health gets lousy and I don't have as much energy as I once did, I've got to find a way to sustain that momentum in a way that doesn't sap my energy further. So creating that synergy of people that want to create the same things, that can really only happen in community. So I was able to really get that extra oomph I needed to get this started because my body said, hey, Brian, guess what? You need to take a nap again. You better find some other way to make this happen.
Awesome. Yeah, man, and you're doing an amazing job, man. I see your, you know, the videos that you put out, and I see the feedback that comes across. I see the people that are like, yeah, like they're kind of nodding their heads like, yeah, you know, you can see it in the comments and all the likes and shares. And so you're definitely onto something, man. And I really want to tell you that, you know, I respect you a lot with everything you got going on, and you're using it to your advantage. You know, you're not just sitting down, you're just not wallowing in self, you know, self-pity and all that. You know, you're actually taking your situation and molding it for awareness.
Yep, because you know, I appreciate the kudos. And at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And I have been helped my entire life by people that believed in me. That when I thought I was a piece of garbage and I was worthless, somebody saw something more in me and said, keep trying, man. Life's going to get better. Don't give up. There's something special for you in the future. And many people told me that. There's something special for you. And if it wasn't for those people continuing to push me forward, who knows what would have happened to my life. So the best way I can honor those folks that believed in me is to pay it forward as often as I can. So I've got to keep putting it out there. I've got to keep believing in others the way people believed in me, because that's some of the best energy to put out there in the world and keep it circulating.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, definitely, absolutely. Dude, this has been, man, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate your time, and I just, I'm just amazed by you, brother. Like, absolutely just amazed at everything that you go through on a daily basis that people just don't realize. They just don't know. And it just goes to show that you never know what someone's dealing with, and you never know what someone is struggling with.
Well, it's been an honor talking with you, Sean. I'm so glad we had a chance to connect.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, man. So this is the point in the show where we have a shameless plug moment. You can plug a friend, your quote, websites, Facebook, products, movie, favorite food, shout out to whoever, whatever you want, man. This is your moment to shamelessly plug whatever is on your mind. Go.
Oh, that's easy. I want people to go to my membership community, which is resiliencewarriors.solutions. That's where you'll see the description of everything I offer, and I will spoil the heck out of everybody that signs up. I give 110%. So go and look at that. Share it with your friends. Anybody that's in any of the circumstances that I have described, disability, negative thinking, overcoming a life event or a loss, this is a place for them to come and feel supported, get the kind of resources they need, get my time and attention so they can come back even stronger and wiser than they were before that stuff ever happened.
Boom. Awesome. Absolutely amazing. And those sites again are facebook.com/ Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Brian R. King, M-S-W. And then twitter.com/ Brian R. King. And you go to the website, brianraymondking.com. It's all in the show notes. And you can click on those links. And again, the call-in number to ask questions is 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So, brother, as we close the show and wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone?
It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's always about we.
And
we're made to go through this life together. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given us each other. So look to the people around you. Never be afraid to ask for help, because you help people live out their life purpose by giving them an opportunity to do what they were put here for, which is to share their gifts with you.
Love it. Not about you. Not about me. It's all about we. Amazing. So give us a call to action. We always close the show with a call to action. What should someone do today? You know, you talked about going to your website. Give us that website one more time. Buy a book. Maybe set a goal. Plan something. Write in a journal. Take some mindfulness. You know, what should someone do today?
Well, one thing that I recommend is expose yourself to one new idea every single day, whether it's a quote, read a paragraph or a page from a book. Go read an article that's maybe outside your comfort zone to challenge the way you think. Because when you keep questioning, when you keep learning something new, that puts you in that position to keep going, aha, ooh, isn't that cool? Oh, I haven't considered that before. You got to keep your mind flexible and teachable. Otherwise, you get stuck. And it's hard to be resilient when you're inflexible. So one idea every single day, and it'll keep your mind moving.
Awesome. I love it, man. Amazing. And talk about what was the Resilience Warriors / solutions. Give that website one more time.
It's not a .com. It's a .dot solutions. So it's resiliencewarriors.solutions.
Resiliencewarriors.solutions. Outstanding. Dude, this has been amazing. You gave us a lot of awesomeness. A lot of skills, a lot of resources to use. And I want everybody to go find Brian online, hit him up in the Facebook groups, talk to him. He's going to blow your mind. The guy is absolutely incredible. Catch his videos, catch his podcasts. They're amazing. Any last words, dude?
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
Dude, I am pumped that we got to do this, man. I am just amazed by you, and you set an amazing example for all of us.
Right back at you, brother.
All right, man. Thank you for being on the show. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this is another impactful episode with amazing and impactful guests. If anything resonated with you, look us up on iTunes, subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything, rate and review the show so that more people can see what we're doing here on Life Transformation Radio. These amazing guests that come on really want to impact as many people as they can. They come on the show. They're vulnerable. They're real. They're authentic. So I ask that if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, go ahead and hit the follow button. If you're catching it on iTunes, just hit the subscribe button. And then go ahead and rate and review the show. Let us know what you thought. And if you catch us live, dial it in, 657-383-1109. You can email me at Sean, S-E-A-M, at the, T-H-E, the Success Core, C-O-R-P-S, Sean at thesuccesscore.com. And I'd love to chat with you. Talk to us on Facebook. But most importantly, subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode and share with your friends. I ask that you share it with everybody. So as we close, I always say live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. And until next show, have a good night.